We have, I think, just 2 minutes, Manuel,
good.
For a very short question and a very, very short answer. But anyway, so I invite you all. You can do your question in German or English, how you feel much more comfortable. We have a translator, so Manuel will understand you even if you speak in German. So please, dear colleagues, some comments, questions. You have the opportunity to have a real expert here today. So please.
Well, thank you. I'm going to be very short. I think this was a very interesting presentation. Now you have this one figure. The one axis was R&D as a percentage of GDP. On the other side, the expenditure per researcher. And we could say to pose a hypothesis, it's in a certain sense almost a dilemma, because on the one hand, the overall R&D expenditure increases, but the expenditure per researchers, at least in a significant number of countries, goes down, something like a paradoxical effect. What are possible explanations for this? Do you see this as a problem, or do you see this as a restructuring of the research and innovation system? What's behind this paradoxical trade-off of two different trends in a certain sense?
When we look at these figures and when we look at research expenditure, we need to understand that most of it are salaries. So once we know that the number of researchers has increased, what we know when it decreases, like the case of Italy and France, it is because the average salary has decreased. Because, say, the number of people increased, but the quality of the research jobs, including the salaries, have decreased. And it is because the number of people associated with the research has been particularly associated with precarity jobs and not with full-time career, even in France. Which there are the evidence of, say, research fellowships for more than 20 and 30 years. So people, instead to get a career, they have a smaller short-term salary associated with projects. But that it is clear. We are essentially looking at the salary issue, and the salary depends on the career. I know that in the Austrian study that Anna and Carolina just presented, you have not touched in the precarity issue. I know that in this country and Germany and Belgium, you are in the top of the European situation, but the precarity of young researchers is very much affecting many other parts and many other countries of Europe. And this is the clear explanation of the figures. When it increase the overall budget, even in a small amount, but you decrease the amount of money per people, is because the increase in the funding has not been at the level of the increase of people. So you have more people with low salaries, essentially precarious jobs.
Eine weitere.
Many thanks for this very inspiring talk. You luckily always highlighted the precarity of young researchers, especially. You know, the number in Austria, about 80% of the scientific staff, they don't have a permanent contract. What is the situation, for example, in Portugal, just for comparison? And how can we dissolve this European, let's say, problem?
Yeah. We need to understand that non-permanent jobs will always exist. And they make part of the process of scientific development. The argument is that it needs to be balanced. It needs to be balanced, the permanent and the non-permanent jobs. What it is not acceptable, in my view, is that you have for 20 or 30 years a non-permanent job. Either you leave to other sector, and the institutions have the responsibility to say that you are not doing the best work to be contracted, but we need to have a better balance. And actually, the CESAR survey is essentially based on this, asking institutions which is your balance between temporary and non-temporary jobs. We know there are very good cases in Europe, particularly in this country and in this university. So we need to identify why institutions have been able to have a good balance and others have not such a good balance. But this needs to be always a balance between temporary and non-temporary, and guarantee that people cannot stay in a non-temporary job for more than 15 years. So we will accept that if everyone is accepted in their research assessment, after the most 15 years, they need to have a top career position. This is what would be acceptable in a career development process. But I'm sure and I'm confident and I'm optimistic that there are good practices in Europe. Most of the times, not at the level of the university, but at the level of departments of specific institutes. And what we are doing through the CESAR survey is trying to identify good practices so that we can show we have good results in Europe that needs to be extrapolated, and try to do the necessary advocacy at the European level to have funding to attack the non-good practices. This is a process. I was involved very much in the advocacy process when we started the European Research Council. It took 7 years, between the year 2000 and 2007. So we expect that this is an advocacy process so that in the next framework program we can have a better financial framework. So I do not expect to solve this problem overnight. What my role is to build an advocacy process so that we step by step trying to improve the situation in Europe.
Okay. So thank you once again, Manuel, for your clear words. We